Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things far, far away. That's Star Wars. My name is Adam Russell.
Hey, this is Nick Ambarian.
Hey, what's up? It's Mike Forster. What did we just watch in the latest episode of Star Wars Television? Are we doing this again? I'm like struggling to be like, was that the best episode I've ever seen? Like, what is going on?
Dude, okay. It's going to be tough. Tough to rate these episodes and pick a favorite. But I can say personally, in my opinion, definitively, this is the like most pivotal, groundbreaking, like clear demarcation in Star Wars between the Star Wars we knew before and the Star Wars in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Like we've crossed some kind of threshold. Yeah. Am I wrong?
I felt that way.
No, I mean, it definitely seems like just the going back to the first episode, we're just like, we're going, there's another galaxy. Cool. The world is our oyster now. The galaxy is our oyster.
It's a big ass oyster.
Finn wants to talk.
Even Finn's is.
I'm very.
You got to get your howler under control, man.
Yeah. Come here, howler. Let's get a special guest.
Wow.
Okay. So obviously, we're talking about Ahsoka Part 6, Far, Far Away. I'd like to just say at the top, there's never been a more meta thing in Star Wars in the past 40 some odd years that was delivered with this level of like grace or something, or like, I don't know what other word to use. It was just like beautiful. I instantly teared up. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. It was kind of, they didn't give you enough time to react to Hu Yang saying in a galaxy far, far away. And then the episode was called Far, Far Away. I'm like,
yes.
Okay. It just happened and I love it. And it goes back to our whole thing with this, with what we say on this show about Star Wars.
Right.
It's not necessarily the idea. It's the execution of the idea. And that was great.
Right.
That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Unreal, dude.
Yeah.
I just like, I'm so like, my camera's messed up. Like I don't have I have no notes. I have nothing. I'm like so mentally.
I can just see you're a mess tonight. You're just a mess.
Like, it was incredible. Like I found, like as soon as they got to Peridia, right?
Yep.
I like physically moved forward on the bed where I was sitting in my room watching, you know, like in solitude, right?
Yeah.
Like moved forward like this. I was like completely captivated.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't put my like finger on it. Obviously, it's a different galaxy and it's supposed to feel different. But why did it feel so different? Was it like overcast? Have we seen overcast in Star Wars before? I really can't place why it felt like actually a different galaxy.
I think Adam just left to go rewatch it. I think there's a certain part of this show that Dave knows. I mean, this in so many ways, the Sabine stomping the rebel or stomping this like, you know, group of bandits who looked amazing, by the way, like incredibly, they almost looked
unreal.
Like Sidon Ithano, one of the, you know, the red guys.
Yes.
So there was certainly like some love there from, I'm really interested to see where some of these original designs were pulled from. Of course, shout out to Brian Matias and Doug Chang and the incredible concept team behind this, because this is also probably just as much as Dave's involved in this too. But this episode particularly, like even setting up, you know, the whale bone graveyard, which serves as the rings around Peridia, and like all of this is like such a, and then getting there before the Chimera comes, like felt so vast. Like this is one where again, I'm like, I know where the volume is, but I'm struggling to see it the same way that I've so easily noticed it before. And this felt very like, I remember thinking too, the Night Sisters have the Bene Gesserit kind of style. Like, you know, we're kind of, you know, I can see where maybe Dave went back and maybe him and George shared some, a reminder of why they loved Dune. It has a very Caladan kind of, you know what I mean? Like, there's just, this episode did feel different and simultaneously also hit so many beats that felt very Star Wars. You know, as soon again, we do another fake out, Sabine throwing a little force action, and I'm like, now they're gonna they're gonna do another fake out, right? Yep. And then suddenly you see the two identifiable you know, tractor beams or the shield generators from the Star Destroyer. Yep. And I was like, dude, we're back. And then to see the Chimera in its glory and new stormtroopers, I'm like,
oh, troopers.
Dude, that's so cool. My God. Mike, you were just talking about on Instagram about how you're in the process of making an OT stormtrooper right now, a TK.
Yeah.
And you're trying to talk yourself out of slash not at all talking yourself out of just making this version now, one of these gold-plated.
Yeah. So the Night Troopers, thank you to closed captioning, of course, which, you know, I think we've gotten to that point where you almost have to just to kind of get a little, you get a couple more little details in there.
Highly recommended on for our reaction episodes because you get some names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was dying when Sabine met our new little turtle alien friends because it's Lil Naughty. I'm like, oh, that's Lil Naughty? that was the closed caption. Just said Lil Naughty. I'm like, oh, Lil Naughty's here. Sick.
Yeah. My favorite rapper. So that was awesome. And I did feel like there was certainly like there's something about I don't know if you want to call it the Dark Crystal, you want to call it like maybe an ode to like Jim Henson or some of the way that the old OT had that, you know, you like what is it felt incredibly Ewok-y.
Absolutely.
You know, Leia being inquisitive about Wicket and the whole like relationship of like, I'm not gonna hurt you, but come a little close, right? And then you've got, of course, you know, you've got Chewbacca and you've got like all these different, you know, things at play. I thought it was hilarious, the one little moment of, you know, I guess comic relief when Sabine and Howler walk away from each other and then Howler like, comes back.
So you know? I loved it, dude.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it. And like, there's something about the pace of this show that allows for things like that. I was talking to Ryan from my band earlier about how the pace is a little slow for him. But I think for those of us who, you know, watch four seasons of Rebels at just breakneck pace to fit into 22 minutes or whatever, this is like such a release and such a cool feeling. Right. So when she walked off screen, I was like, here it comes, do it.
Yeah.
Walks back in frame.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
It's like when I yell at Finn for eating the cat's food and he like immediately knows that he did something wrong.
Yeah.
And then he just starts to follow me like all like,
good, right? So getting back to, you know, we have Enoch, as the who has a very like, what would you call
Destro? Destro from G.I. Joe.
There you
That's
go.
That's what his face is, but gold though.
Yeah,
for sure. I would certainly say like there's definitely kind of like a we've seen that similar look in you know 300 or you know the Persian army or whatever that would be. There was certainly some
samurai stuff like that as well.
Yeah, 100%.
The Kabuki kind of masks. Yep.
And the interesting part about it is, I believe, and I hope I do not screw this up, but I think that process of Japanese repair on ceramics or other things is, I think it's called, is it Kintsugi? Can we look that up?
Mando Pool guy in our Patreon Discord chat right here. Here's a shot from Wikipedia, I assume. Kintsukuri.
Kintsukuri. Okay. However you pronounce it, and someone please do phonetically sound it out for me. But is the process of actually repairing something that's broken almost highlighting its defects? And so oftentimes they'll use some kind of plating or something like that to actually fill in and repair something to structurally repair it. So whether we're going to, I mean, you could see that was that gold, which I love that this is now a bad guy color, right? Because white and gold were traditionally such a Jedi thing. But you could see that all the way on the Chimera. So the Chimera was like seriously messed up. And to see those big patches of repair in that color, just gorgeous. And then your traditional Night Sister red wraps around the troopers. I'm like, give me, like, I assume the character posters we're going to get this week is going to be Thrawn.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be one of the Night Sisters. It's obviously going to be Ezra, but I'm like, give me those details. I want to see that, that high res shot for sure. And also, you know, the other thing too, is like, we've seen this theme before, because you've also seen when, you know, Kylo's mask, they repaired it kind of the same, the, you know, fill in the cracks, and it's got kind of, it brings it new life. So, this is certainly a theme that we have said before. But the fact that we've got origin references to Dathomir, we've got origin references to some of the Night Sisters. The Night Sisters, dude, we saw Night Sisters in live action.
Yes.
They did have names. I didn't recognize any of the names. So in the, in the credits. They're in the credits.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't tell who was
here. There's four people listed for the credits, and three of them are like weird names, that, and they were all female actress names. So I assume that they were the Night Sisters.
Well, one of them was from Stargate. Ashley, what is it? Ashley Black or... yeah, from, so like, I think they probably went back and found some classic actors.
You think there's anything to them being, well, you mentioned there being the troopers, the Night Troopers being wrapped in maroon or that red, you know, like, you think there's some magic in that trooper brigade there?
Yeah, I'm going to say either like we've seen the we've seen resurrected before, right?
In this show.
Yeah, and Thrawn specifically like calls it out, right? Like, Ahsoka was dead, and he's like resurrection is something that the Night Sisters and the Jedi both know. So I think we could very well see this fleet of being almost like an undead army of, you know, resurrected troopers or something like that.
Dude, that could call back to what was the comic series with the zombie troopers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could be kind of a Right.
Yeah. Homage to that.
Those were the original Death Troopers before Death Troopers were a thing in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Julia in our chat says Claudia Black. You said Claudia Black?
Oh, Claudia
you said
Black,
she's from, from what show?
Stargate.
Stargate. There you go.
So, I mean, like, pretty awesome that we've expanded the lore and built upon old lore. And I think, like, in regards to, like, magic and all this kind of like, you know, more mystical stuff, that's is going to be certainly something for Star Wars fans who are completely unaware of this part of how hard George and Dave brought us into traditional fantasy elements. It's really cool to know that like the universe goes far, far, far away, but it goes further beyond into you know, parts that we don't know, but we're getting to those points of origin now where it's like, where did these things come from? Like, what is the story behind that? Like, could, how far could we chase this back? So I think this episode like might have literally been one of the most important episodes in Star Wars storytelling.
Yeah. I'm saying, dude, we have crossed into a completely new land, literally and figuratively. I could not be more stoked.
Yep.
How about the fact, I mean, just going back to the beginning, I was like, oh, new hyperspace. It's like colorful.
Yes. Yeah. Totally different. Yeah.
You know, like, is that just because they're going so fast or because they're
in a different place?
Pergil, they're in a different place. Yeah.
So I wondered that. I thought, because the first glimpse of that we see is with the Pergil, you know, with Ahsoka and Hu Yang in the ship inside. My immediate thought was, oh, wow, it's different for them. It, like, an organic traveling through hyperspace is different. But then we saw the same thing with the Eye of Sion. So, it just has to be something about that space, either the speed or the space between the galaxies out there in dead space.
Right.
But it was beautiful. It reminded me of the Eye in Andor.
Yeah, the Eye of Aldani. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Also, all the Rebels, like, explosions were very colorful. You know, like in the animated series Rebels, I feel like when they exploded, there was like a rainbow underneath there. Kind of reminded me of that.
Right.
Peyton P. in the chat says Uber space.
Super, that's true.
It's beyond hyperspace. It's Uberspace.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, I mean, really,
hyperspace plus
this episode, I'm going to go back and rewatch it, but like, there were so many classic beats. This just felt like it had Filoni over someone's shoulder, which thank goodness for that. We got new stuff in here. All right, Nick, toy collectors are going to be very geeked about this episode because we get a new Thrawn, we get new Night Sisters, we get new troopers, we get the bandits. Who else we got? Obviously, Baylan. We get Shin. Now, wait. Let's talk about this, though, okay?
A little naughty. Don't forget about a little
naughty. Yeah, we're going to get a three-pack of naughties, right? Let's talk, obviously, Ezra Bridger. In traditional Peridia garment, right? Because, you know, we got to get a couple of
with the cowboy boots or whatever the hell he had on.
Those were kind of, I mean, kicking boots, man. Those were kind of a little spicy there. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about like Shin and Baylen. Like there was some development there.
Oh, yes.
Like, what was Baylen? Baylen was talking about a greater like evil, right?
Right.
Like even more so than Thrawn or the Night Sisters. So.
Well, the idea of like the turbulent kind of wash, rinse, repeat, cyclical nature of the light and dark side, right. Sith and Jedi.
Yeah.
I think he's saying that back and forth is not even balance. That's like a source of evil.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Period.
Right.
You know, that conflict. That's the vibe I got. I don't know.
The interesting part about it is he says like the Jedi, the Empire, right? The difference of what that could be. He said, I made you something far greater than a Padawan to Shin, right?
And also, and stop, what did he refer to Ezra as? One trained in the wild. He called it
Bokken.
B-O-K-K-E-N.
Yeah.
A-N, I think. B-O-K-K-A-N.
So, like in Japanese, that's Bokken. Mm-hmm. There's like an extended K sound, Bokken kind of thing.
That's the sword, right? A Bokken. It's a training sword. So, do you think in his sense, like he was saying, he's a Bokken Jedi, as if obviously he's kind of like a fake Jedi because he wasn't trained.
Well, he wasn't trained in the order, which he mentioned too. You know, Bokken in this, from what I got from that, was saying he was trained outside of the order, after the order, and, you know, wasn't a part of the order. So maybe that in this scenario, yeah.
So Bokken's like a very like primitive weapon, tool, training weapon.
Right.
So I can see how that means like...
He's only a Jedi in practice, basically. Like he hasn't
been. Or like, it's not like a sophisticated type of training, like, you know, in the... No, on Coruscant in the temple. It's like out there with sticks.
Yeah.
Training kind of thing,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So like a simulator fighter pilot.
Right.
Maybe. You know. But what's interesting about that is like certainly I think that there's something there about either that Baylen is the fact that Baylen's got something going on here, right? So whatever he's getting at almost kind of looks like he's what's interesting is like it almost seems like he played I don't want to say played, but like certainly calls Thrawn what he is, which he thinks is like he's the next warlord to just take the throne for right now, right? If that's however he thinks about it. So like for him to still want to take out Sabine and Ezra, is that still him? But then at the same time respects, like he thought that he killed Ahsoka too. And so is he tapping more into... the dark side versus, you know what I mean? Like he's not working.
I don't think he sees it as binary as that. I think that is his big problem with the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. I think, well, he's saying things like he's got a greater purpose and he's thinking outside of the, like, yeah, the binary, you know, like the Jedi and Sith. Like, I think he's thinking bigger.
Yeah. So what could that be?
That's what I'm saying. Like that was really interesting where I don't think he was referring to Thrawn when he said there was like a greater evil like stirring out there or something like that. So,
well, and two, like, let's think about this, like Shin kind of also being this, is she like a Bokken Sith? You know what I mean? Like in that regard of like, you know, she's, you know, and again, like she got her lightsaber somehow. Hu Yang didn't know where her lightsaber came from. Like there's a lot of similarities in that regard. I don't know. Like,
yeah, but I really think it is, the idea is that like he wants the war to start to just level the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Like, I think he's referenced that before, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like he said something like, I think Ahsoka in the last episode or maybe episode 4 said something about starting a war and he was just like, I'm not starting a war. Thrawn is going to start the war.
Yeah.
So he really does just want kind of
everyone
to fight while he's over here doing whatever.
Right.
And then like the void or the space left unoccupied once everything is leveled. My interpretation is like that's the opportunity for like a greater power than anyone can imagine, like he keeps talking about, you know?
But what could that be?
I mean, just their access to the Force, like their ability to like achieve some greater connection to the Force. I'm not just thinking out loud here. In the absence of this push and pull, constant wash, rinse, repeat of the Jedi and the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
He called it the Empire, but, you know, light and dark.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
You know what's so interesting is that this storytelling, I said it in what you, Adam, you posted our bingo cards today, and I looked at all the rest of my like remaining unchecked like predictions, and I'm like, none of this is going to happen. This story is already so far, like, I want to say off the tracks, but it's not off the tracks. It's on a different track. Like, this, the way this story is rolling out has our familiar characters and an absolutely different story than, you know, this is why you don't speculate. Speculate and have fun. But these people are writing it and not, it's not a puzzle to be figured out, you know? Like, Filoni is not being like, well, let me do this and then people will figure this out or whatever. It's, right. This is a completely different story that is going to set Star Wars up, like you're saying, I think, for the future, you know? And I think that is so insane, because it also feels, again, the execution is so good.
So exciting.
The characters are great. Thrawn was amazing. You could tell that being a face actor now, the voice and delivery was a little different, but it was mostly there.
Right.
And then, hey, Sabine and Ezra, like Ezra, dead on. Dead on. The voice.
Yeah.
What? Sabine, we already covered. Dead on. Yeah. Ezra and Sabine together now. I'm like, that's Sabine and Ezra. This is insane.
Yes. Yeah.
Shout out to my Persian brother.
There you go.
Ezra.
Who do you think has more body hair?
Ooh.
Oh, definitely me. See, my thing is that I'm Persian and Italian, so I have two kinds of hair. My hair has hair.
Nice.
You have like your coat and your undercoat.
Yeah. Just like a thousand percent.
There's like a drier hair, and then there's also more of like an oily Mediterranean hair. Which
you're really not nice. Far off. Because anytime I've had to like shave to get tattooed, I'm like, every place that there's like a hair follicle, there's like two or three. I'm like, well, okay. Nice. There's like two or three little hairs coming out of every single one hair follicle. All right.
And I do want to let people know this is why they subscribe to Thank the Maker is for stuff like this.
body hair analysis.
Hey, yeah, don't ever be hairy. If you could just, it's really itchy. Just saying.
I get that. I'm trying to think really of, I think there's certainly like what this, I'm stumbling over my words because I'm so excited about rewatching this episode. But I think
Hurry up so I could go watch again.
I know. the part of getting at looking at
what are we done? We're done.
Do because
sorry.
All right. Thanks for Patreon.
Liking, everyone. Subscribing.
See you next week.
The part of that I think that we're interested in for all of us certainly is like looking at what the next, because we only have how many, two episodes left? Three episodes? Two episodes.
Yeah, two.
Oh God. We do. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. We're closing in, right? So like the part of me that's going like Thrawn getting back to the core worlds, which is what it seems like is his end game to be able to get back, right? He's leading up to that. Ahsoka's on her way. The next two episodes, the penultimate episode, like, is it going to be that Thrawn is going to succeed in getting back to the core worlds, right? But then this other part that's really interesting is that, like, how do we do an entire season two, assuming because the show seems to be crushing?
Yeah.
How do we do a season two of showing Thrawn's plan, his control over the galaxy, his heir to the Empire? Like, what does that look like? And season two, I'm like, I can't believe how much we got in with this and that we're going to get Ezra in the next episode. Like, he's going to be a character in the next episode. I'm like,
yes,
it's going to be insane.
God, there's so much to say. Question before Thrawn said, you know, the thing about latest intel on Ezra Bridger's location and so on and so forth. Were you wondering if old Goldface was Ezra?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about a compromised Ezra.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for a voice. Yeah, but then when we finally saw him, man, like, again, dead on everything, just like completely nailed. Like, not, it's tougher with some of the alien species. Like, even, you know, the first time we saw Rosario, it was, you know, kind of like Rosario cosplaying as Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, similar vibes with Hera. But there's just something about Sabine and Ezra, like you guys are saying, that the casting's great, the acting's great, they've done their homework. And these past two episodes, I've never been more like, it's been a long time since I've like fully given in to the story and been completely like whatever the complete opposite of those moments where you're taken out. Like,
sure.
Even like last episode with the de-aging on Hayden in the flashbacks, completely forgot that he was not exactly the age I was looking at for like the full scene. And then it snapped back, was like, oh my God,
I
haven't even thought about
it's
it
perfect.
For 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
It just like, I'm so, so happy and proud, and I feel so lucky, like, that we have these people giving us these stories.
Hey, what were those bodies, by the way? Those are caskets, right? Like, they're in, they said, we're going to the catacombs, and they were floating those caskets.
What show were you watching?
No. Oh, right. The chat is about to blow up, because people are going to agree with me for sure.
The levitating kind of caskets, yeah.
Yeah, are those?
They could be. He said the troopers were dwindling, like their numbers were dwindling. They could just be dead troopers.
That seems rather ritualistic.
Speaking of that, I don't know if I said earlier, that statement by Thrawn, I think, just supports the idea that they're reanimating with magic well, these dead troopers. Numbers are dwindling. They can only do so much, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I think if there's something there, I mean, the thing that's interesting too is that they called them the mothers too of the Night Sisters, right?
Yes.
So I thought that was interesting because it wasn't like, it's almost like that mother as a term is more for like high council or right? So like there isn't,
it's
like
a rank in a way.
Yeah. Like Mother Talzin was like the queen bee of, but like I think at some point we had all assumed that like she was the main witch, right?
The one, yeah.
She died, but it's like now it kind of opens up the idea that like there is no Pope. Like,
yeah. Like, so I went back and immediately like started trying to find images of Mother Talzin and read her Wikipedia article and forgot about how the whole death went down and everything. And I was trying to match up the makeup and reading a thing about, you know, her specific coven on Dathomir.
Yeah.
Ending when she died.
Sure, sure, sure.
And that, just that one statement, you know, referring to that group as a coven.
Got it. So she's a powerful witch, but that, yeah. So she's, that was
right.
Her
group. So like my prediction that she would show up is kind of moot because she, it's not like she's the Yoda of the group.
Right.
She's just one of many. So it's not like she needs to show up. They're all, you know, in theory as powerful as each other.
Right. I liked that. As soon as they walked up, I saw that red. I was like,
so good.
And the score, dude, with the organs and shit, like the sound design on this one, bro.
That almost like that voice that like you can hear clearly, but you're not sure which direction it comes from. I'm like,
yes.
Yep. Amazing.
And also, Nick, like, you know, we're talking about witches. We're talking about turtle people, all this kind of stuff. All I could think the whole time was, this is exactly what Nick always talks about, loving when Star Wars is weird.
Yeah.
But they're pulling it off in a way that I hope everyone is accepting, just the same way everyone accepted all the bizarre shit in the original trilogy. Because it feels like original trilogy modernized, all in the same spirit, you know?
Yeah. In general, I mean, when I dip my toe in the devil's water and read some comments, you know, when Star Wars official posts about Ahsoka, I'm like, this is going really well because it's really hard to find haters. They exist for sure, but this is going really well. These sort of, you know, things again come back to execution, and you're going to have people who don't like it for whatever reason. But you drawing parallels to like, if you like Leia meeting an Ewok, then why wouldn't you like Sabine meeting Lil Nadi? You know, like it's the same. Were they all wearing like rock backpacks, or is that a part of their actual?
I interpreted it like they're like snails, like they have those extended eyes.
Yeah,
those are like exoskeletons. Like, you know,
part of their biology. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that? And different with snails and other animals like that, but like turtles and tortoises, that's an extension of their spine.
Yeah,
like their spine is, it's all,
it's not their house.
It's an exospine in a way. Yeah.
Right.
It's not just, yeah.
But I mean, even the execution there of Lil Nadi seeing her pauldron, the Jedi symbol, and then him showing it. I'm like, that's brilliant. That's such a good way to because there was a language barrier there for them to connect that way. So good.
For them to connect that, it's like, obviously Ezra has probably protected them or done something that he's like, you know, here, take this as like a sign of my trust with you or something like that, which we might get that, but like, he seems to understand, like, you know, he's like, hey, they don't stay in a place too long. He clearly understands them and speaks their language. Right. So like there's some definite, like, I'm sure we're going to get some exposition next week. I'm cracking up because Ryan Key is texting our group right now and he's like, what's in the coffins? Oh yeah. What's going on here? Right. Like, which is amazing. See the coffins, guys.
Okay. Get ready for the Dune monologue tomorrow night.
Oh, 100%.
From Ranky.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, it's a ruckus. I think really what it is for me is like that it goes back to all the things that we've loved. Like this show to me, especially this episode, has combined so many things that remind me how in love with Star Wars I am. And when I don't think about it too much, I remember how awesome all of this stuff is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just said the Leia Wicket scene, Ryan Key.
Yeah. It's like, dude, it's just not that any of us need reigniting of anything, right? In our love for Star Wars, but this just like, you know, whatever stress you have in the day, like even getting ready to do this, I was complaining and being grumpy as hell about the amount of time we have between air and going live. And as soon as we start talking, I'm just like, I don't know. Listen to me, look at my face, look at us. Like, it's just so energizing to feel something this fresh and something that harkens back to the stuff we love so well, so elegantly.
Right.
It's just a damn masterclass. This whole series, I'm just so thankful. Again, so thankful.
I mean, just think about this year in general, Andor. Like, that was totally fresh and amazing. And now we're getting this, which is this not the magical yet adult Star Wars that we want?
Absolutely.
You know, like this is what, you know, when we were watching Andor, I keep saying, I feel like I've been talking about Andor recently a bunch. And I was like, yeah, I loved it. It was perfect, but it wasn't fun. I was like miserable watching it, but that was the intended purpose, you know? Yeah. And now this is like an advanced class in what Star Wars is. It's clearly like there's no child, you know, like this isn't for kids. Not that they can't watch it, but it's not so like ham-fisted, like, oh, we have to have this for the 7-year-olds out there. It's like, no, this is from episode one. It's just been picking up where Rebels left off. And now it's just full on and a grown adult like Star Wars watching like fan is enjoying this. And it's still fun, though. You still get lightsabers and you still have bad guys, good guys, like all this stuff. It's like, really, I think it's a shame for all of those haters out there who have been hating since Force Awakens to probably have written off a lot of stuff and they're not enjoying this now. Or maybe they're enjoying it, but their whole personality is that they hate Star Wars and they're probably like,
damn it. I guess they committed to the bit.
it really is what we, until this, kind of considered The Mandalorian, that great mix of classic, you know, made for kids but older, you know, throwing back to Star Wars and the fun, you know, the seriousness and the fun. But this just, not to diminish The Mandalorian whatsoever because it's incredible, but this is the epitome of what we're talking about, what you're describing, Nick.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crushing it.
And there's a part of it where I think like, And going back on it constructively, of course, like I think you could clearly see, especially in the last season of Mandalorian, that they filmed these two shows very congruently, almost like right behind each other, right? You could see, I feel like, looking at this show, comparing it to Mandalorian in the previous seasons, this is where Dave's focus has been, right? Like, And this is like, you can be frustrated with, a corporate demand of going, we need content for our streaming service, whatever you want to say. But like, you can clearly see that, I think, in my opinion, this has really sealed it, that Dave is truly the...
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Mike.
Wrong episode for this to happen on.
Mike dropped out.
Mike's in the world between worlds. All right.
I mean, just to pick up on what he's saying, though, I mean, that's, I feel like that's possible. It still seems so kind of, I don't know, whack to me that like other series that he worked on would suffer because he's working on this, you know, like it's kind of a bummer if that is the case. I could see that argument being real, though.
Only so many hours in a day.
Yeah.
Am I in?
There you are. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. What did you say, Nick? What did I miss?
I was just saying, I think what you're getting at is that if Filoni's, you know, mind and energy was elsewhere and on this, and that made Mando season 3 lack a little bit, then that's just kind of a bummer, you know, like that a lot of it does depend on him, kind of, you know.
But I think it's because he understands the secret sauce of understanding mm-hmm. that, like, you know, that we can't make Mandalorian, you know, a big war epic, and we have to also have this like layer of things that stir our imagination and do all that. And I think, and again, it's not a criticism, because like we could see it very clearly when Dave Filoni is not involved. You know, then you end up getting a show like Andor, which, like you said, Nick, is like almost like a night and day. Like I cannot picture the little naughty walking around the streets of Ferrix. You know what I mean? I just can't see
it. Exact same thing, dude.
Right. So like there is that difference in that balance of being like, when we think of Star Wars, it is Ewoks, right? Like we can all see, and the haters were frustrated about the Ewoks when that came out, right? And when you look at the core of what has made this franchise what it is, it's always been about combining fantastical elements with the idea of, you know, good versus bad, and an expansive world that makes us curious about it. And this episode, especially under Filoni's direction as the showrunner of this whole thing, I think this just goes to show, like, it's Filoni's world and I want to live in it. So,
well, I think something we can safely assume is that Filoni is now in a place where, I forgot what his official title is, but he's the heir apparent to George Lucas. His hands,
like executive creative or whatever.
Yeah. His hands, if available, are on everything. But being so integral to telling the story, this being his story, he's directing some of the episodes, he's writing the whole thing. During this time period, he just literally doesn't have enough time or energy to be present in the other things. So maybe it will shift back. And I think they're going to look at the success of this and the feedback. And I don't know. I don't want to like praise the dude like a god, but he is like George's apprentice, doing George's work, carrying this into this new era, and he rightfully should be engaged in everything if he can be.
One thing I wanted to say, not to totally switch, those what did we call them? Like the Marauders, that Sabine fought, whatever we were calling them.
Yeah, the Raiders or whatever.
Yeah, the Raiders. At first, especially the guy who had the helmet that went this way, I was like, is it possible that these are like Nile from like the High Republic?
High Republic, yeah.
Because like Markion Rose, like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you could see, you know, like that's that. I don't think it is, but then I'm like, but then now there's like a bunch of gold. And I'm like, gold is like a very High Republic
thing. You know, right, too, thing. Dude.
It's right. Like, damn, I don't know. Right. Again, it's just dumb to speculate, but hey.
You meant to say it's fun to speculate.
Yeah.
I think too, like, I mean, I'm just looking at this. I'm like, I think we're all like celebrating the idea, like, because I'm just cracking up that like Ryan's over here, like experiencing the show. And as we're talking to it, he's like, can you believe this is happening? And I'm also looking at our YouTube as well. And I'm seeing people just like so geeked on this episode, and I love that like our chat is blowing up and there's people following along with it. And I guess too, we've also talked about it as well, because I see every time there seems to be a Hammer episode, morons on the internet decide that they need to be chatty, and they go, they really need a fire Catholic candidate, need to give it to Dave. So let me also remind you very quickly, in the corporate world, Dave is exactly where he needs to be as a creative person. Thing we can't do, right, is cut him out and put him in financial meetings. Again, he is exactly where he needs to do. So let Thank the Maker be the show that tells you you're an idiot if you think that you need to fire Kathleen.
I mean, it just also, it shows that they don't know what they're talking about. Not that we think that they do, that they, like, they think that Kathleen Kennedy is at a desk. Like, all right, so Ahsoka is gonna, you know, like, what? Like, come on.
They're like, hey,
she's writing this shit.
Yeah, they're like, we're trying to figure out like where if we can loan ILM out for like the next six Marvel shows. And she's like, hang on, I'm trying to figure out what the color of the mask is gonna look like. So you guys are gonna have to come back. We can figure out what to do with Indiana Jones next year because I'm really trying to dial in Thrawn's chin and make sure everything's fine. So I just
go to YouTube and search what does an executive producer do?
Sure.
What
start there.
What does the president of a film studio do? Just do some homework, people. Jeez. All right. Well, hey, we should probably cut this out because we're gonna go deep dive tomorrow, streaming or probably around the same time, 9-ish central, I would assume. We have a lot of feelings. We have to make space for Ryan Key's Dune TED Talk.
Sure.
So let's wrap this thing up.
Do you need a reaction for the thumbnail? Is that good?
Yep, that'll do.
Nailed it.
All right. We need to remind you to press the subscribe button, like, do all the things. Also, Mosh Eisley, New York Comic Con. This is October 14th. Tickets are on sale. It's going to be awesome. Go buy them. That's all I have to say about that. It's going to be the best party you've ever been to. If you've never been, if you have been, it might still be. Who knows? It's going to be great. MoshEisley.com.
And if you know a nerd in New York, even if they're not going to New York Comic Con, if you know a nerd in New York, let them know.
Yeah, it's at Gramercy Theater. It's not in the con, so you don't need a con ticket to go to it. It's just a party. Happens to be associated with the con. It's adjacent to the con. We'll say it that way.
Question.
Yes, Mike?
What do we do about next week?
Oh, I was going to mention this. I think we should watch it on the Halcyon. We're going to be on the Galactic Star Cruiser, everyone. Mm-hmm. We should watch it together on there. And the four of us in the room should podcast and stream live from the Halcyon.
Bingo. Absolutely.
Someone, please. We have multiple streams going on right now. I need to hear Discord's thought on that. I need to hear YouTube's thought on that. Should we do it? Should we just do it live?
I'll bring the
Roadcaster and everything. We'll do it right.
Yeah. We absolutely have to do that. Plus, correct me if I'm wrong, Disney Plus is on the TV, right? Didn't we watch? We were watching Star Wars.
I wasn't on Earth then. I don't know.
We were watching Star Wars like when we were in the room.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So we have to leave the Sublight Lounge. You're going to have to drag us ourselves out of there, right? And then we're all going to get a bunch of blue milk. I'll probably get Mustafarian lava. I'll probably get one of those.
Mm. I'm going to buy the most expensive drink just for this show.
100%. We'll do that. And then we'll watch the show, react live, lose ourselves, and then go right back to the Sublight Lounge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about all the stuff that we just talked about on the pod. That's what we're going to do, right?
Yeah. No editing or anything. I'm just going to put it up. It's probably just going to be one episode next week. There's too much going on. We're going to be in space, folks. Okay. So just cut us a little slack.
Brent Hobart on YouTube goes, you guys better ask Sarah first. It's true.
Somebody asked mom. Yeah. So we're going to go live from the Galactic Star Cruiser, live from hyperspace, most likely.
Oh my God.
It's going to be great. I don't know if I'm going to search YouTube and see if anyone else has live streamed from the Halcyon a reaction to a show.
Probably not. Let's just say we're the first.
We'll say we're the first and last.
Mm-hmm. We'll be the last.
I'm going to see if Wraith Cole wants to come back and watch it with us. He's going to be like, what is all this? It seems like from a different time. He'd be like, buddy, you're looking into your future here.
What Galactic News Network is this? All right, we're out of here. Follow us on socials, do the whole thing. MoshEisley.com. Like, subscribe, press the thing. Dudes, I love you. Thanks for being here. Patrons, thanks for being with us. And until tomorrow, may the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod. where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.